This is the third week of our church membership series. I've called it Starting Points. That's kind of what I'm going, well, it's not kind of. It is what I'm going to call any church membership class that we do into the future. That is one of my responsibilities, one of my many responsibilities to make sure happens. And I decided, well, instead of just having a church membership class for a portion, a percentage of people, let's just go ahead and get it all out there and make sure we're all on the same page regarding what church membership is, what church membership is not, the history of our church. If you were here last week, I hope you were encouraged and blessed to see the different generations, the different decades. I know I was. I stood up here, got a little bit overwhelmed being able to see all the different decades of people who represented different decades and lengths of time being members of this church. And I know that we have many who are not members for various good reasons. And we're actually going to get into what some of that entails and doesn't entail even today as we continue to move forward. Hope you have your Bibles out. We will have some verses later to be able to look at. Again, here's my disclaimer. Don't expect normal series, normal preaching on Sunday morning to be like this four-week series. This is different. I make that very, very clear. This is different. I feel like I'm not preaching through the Bible as my habit to do and as I believe I should be doing is. We're hitting verses here and there. This is a lot of teaching. This is less preaching. Maybe you're like, good, we need a break from preaching. I don't know. Maybe you're ready to get back into a series. I promise you that will be coming. But we're in week 3 out of 4 weeks regarding church membership. So we're all going through this class together. As a wrap-up, as a reminder of what we've gone through, here we go. 2 weeks ago, we began with what we believe. And we started with basics of Christian life and then started narrowing the funnel. I've used the example of a funnel. Narrowing the funnel as we get from basics of Christian life down towards what it means to be a Baptist church. Whether you know it or not, or whether you care or not, one of the names or words on the sign in the front of our church is Baptist. What does that mean? And then we got to last week. And last week we started narrowing the funnel and started looking at who we are. And we actually not just are Baptist, but identify and are partnered with, associate with Southern Baptists. And I pointed out some of the good, the bad, and the ugly about what that means. I talked about associations and whether they're good or bad. I understand all the different arguments. I've heard them all. I've had to think through them myself. Is it better just to be non-denominational and leave it all open? Is it better to be part of a specific denomination? There are good arguments for all of those perspectives. Nevertheless, here's what we are, and we are associated with the Southern Baptists. And I shared a little bit about what that meant. You got to hear from Kay this morning as she reported our offering and what that's going to. That's partnering with Southern Baptists. I will make this statement that is across the board. I'll fight for this statement. Nobody does missions, whether it's international or local or regional or national and international. Nobody does it better than the Southern Baptists. Nobody organizes that better. And you heard about the North American Mission Board this morning that Kay shared with. There are a lot of good mission organizations, but as far as biggest and best, I believe we are partnered with those. And that's where our mission money goes towards. But again, you can argue and you can fight for, I don't like that, I think we should do things differently. All of those are up for discussion, and I would agree with much of other points on that. Nevertheless, then we ended up with who we are as a church family. I read from some of our constitution, which you may have never even known or was aware of, read through what some of it said regarding membership. I'll be reading through that next week as well, not to get ahead of myself. We shared a little bit about the history of this church here and how we should be proud of this church here and what we've gone through since 1959. That brings us to this week. This week, we're diving into actually, finally, answering the question, what is church membership? All right, Pastor Ben, you've teased it out long enough. Let's just get to it, right? You forced us to be in this class. Oh boy, no laughs. Yikes. Let me try that one again and just play along. Just play along. Pastor Ben, you've forced us to be in this membership class. Okay. That was so fake. That was so fake. I'll never do that again. I forced you, like it or not. And so finally we're getting to the actual business of church membership, the good, the bad, and the ugly, what it is, what it is not. Yes, we're getting there today. You've picked a good week to be here, or maybe you'll say this was the worst week to be here. My job is to make it a good week to be here. And then we finally end next week, May 7th. Start the service next week with baptism. We continue to praise and worship, and then we finish our membership series looking at what is next. Hopefully I've set the table well. Hopefully I've narrowed the funnel down to this church. I will be answering the questions and the pushback and the responses to membership this week, Lord willing, and then next week, what is next? What is next? And it is my job to answer that and finish this membership class well. So I encourage you to be here next week, Lord willing, if you're able to as well. So here we go. We're in week 3. What is church membership? And here's what we're going to cover this morning. First of all, I'm going to share 4 common challenges or arguments or pushbacks or rebuttals to the idea of joining a church. And a lot of you are going to be very familiar with some of these challenges. You know how I know that? Because you've told me those. So I'm well aware of your perspectives and thoughts. Maybe I'll bring up some things you've never thought about. And that's okay. That's the plan. We're going to look at what membership is not first, because some of us probably have misconstrued conception of what church membership is and is not. So we'll start with what it is not, then we'll get to what it is. This should be maybe number 1, but for sake of the flow of the service, we're going to put what the Bible says number 4 out of 5, and then end with challenges responded to. I'm going to go back to number 1, the common challenges to church membership, and then I'll actually meet those in the conclusion and hopefully do my best to answer or respond to those challenges. All right? So here we go. 4 common challenges to church membership. 4 common challenges. Number 1, and this I think is the most frequent, hey, Pastor Ben, give me a verse for it. And I can't. I can't give you a verse that says, thou shalt join a church. Thou shalt come forward and fill out the little church membership thing and sign on the dotted line and become a member. There is no verse that says that. I would argue it is in the Bible, but as far as a verse and a reference, there's not one. So I willingly accept the fact, and this is often the pushback to, why do I have to join a church? It's not even in the Bible. I would argue it is, but for a reference and a verse, there's not one. So some would insist it's not in the Bible. Here's challenge to church membership number 2. That we don't like the voting or the judging. We feel like if we're joining a church, well, then if a church can vote us in, then the church can vote us out, and the church gets to judge how we live, and they're going to, like, check my paychecks. They're going to, like, look at our stubs, and they're going to, right? And we think of church membership as far as, like, now we're allowing this bunch of random people in this building, and they get to judge everything I say or do, and they get to kick me out if they don't like me. And that's a major pushback to the idea of church membership. I hear that. I felt that before, and hopefully I'll have a good response to that thinking later. But I am freely admitting this is a common challenge to church membership. Number 3, they don't like the permanent commitment. If I join a church, well, then I'm expected to be there, I'm expected to give, I'm expected, right? And the pastor's going to come breathing down my neck if I don't show up every single week, and if, right, there's a lot of commitments, I'm not ready for commitment. That is a common challenge to church membership as well. I hope to respond to that later. And then number 4, you don't need church membership to serve in the church. Why do I have to join a church? I can still serve. And I would both agree and disagree with that statement. That's my teaser for the answer and the response later. But many of you are not members in this church, and yet you still serve. And I would say, thank you. I'm glad you do. I feel like anybody who's part of the Church of God, capital C Church, not First Baptist Fairleigh Church, capital C, like universal church, if you're a follower of Jesus, you should be serving. So I hope so. And some of you are not. And my challenge in love is to push you to decide, what does God have for you and where should you be serving? But you would rightly say, I don't need to sign on the dotted line to serve in church. And I'll say, okay, okay. And that's often a common criticism, a common challenge to church membership as well. So I've given us some 4 common challenges, whether you've thought of these before, or whether you've thought of all of them before, or whether you've never thought of these before. I lay them out. I want to give some information, to look to the scripture, to talk about some other things, and then hopefully respond to each of these 4. If you have another common challenge, for space, I decided not to put 127, right? Let's just stick with 4 basics and lump them together. But if you have other ones, I would love to hear them. Please call me this week. Let's meet up. Let's talk. But here are the 4 most common challenges to church membership. So here we go. First off, what membership is not? Getting ahead of myself. Here's what it is not. You don't join a church to be more holy. It doesn't make you closer to God. It doesn't. God doesn't say, okay, now that you came forward and pastor and they voted you in and Pastor Ben went ahead and welcomed you to church, God doesn't look down and say, now you're good. That's not what he does. Joining a church does not make you any more holy. It doesn't. It doesn't advance you spiritually down the line. Now, you could argue joining a church allows you to do things that will please God more. Okay, there's room for that argument. But just because you're a member of a church does not make you better in God's eyes than someone who's not. Church membership is not spiritual advancement. Church membership is not an earned privilege or country club benefits. This is a major, major concern that I have with the idea of church membership, because I've seen this, I've experienced it. I'm a part of this church, so y'all better serve me. I pay my dues, we call it tithes or offerings, but I pay my country club dues, so therefore y'all better make me happy. Pastor, you're stepping on my toes, and I pay the bills around here. Church membership is not joining a country club. It's not. We often, whether we think about it or not, tend to equate that. I'm a member, so now I get my stuff. Just like if you join a golfing country club, or you join a private club, or you pay your dues, and so you're part of some sort of club that does community service. Those are all well and good, but that's not what church membership is about. It doesn't get you country club benefits. Church membership is not does not allow you the ability to seek power and influence over others. Unfortunately, I've seen this abused. But people think, I'm going to join a church, so now, therefore, because I'm a member, I get to judge and I get to abuse and I get to lord my power over others. Unfortunately, churches are full of fallen people and a bunch of sinners, and this church is no different than any other church in that respect. We have a bunch of sinners. You also have a pastor who's a sinner. You just do. I'm sorry. If you're looking for a perfect pastor, you need to look elsewhere. Perfect deacons, perfect church council, perfect Sunday school teachers, you're going to have to look elsewhere. We have a bunch of fallen people, and sometimes things don't always mesh well. Sometimes we have disagreements, and sometimes we see things differently, and we have different goals and different visions. But you don't look at church membership as the ability to, now I can tell everybody else how it is, and y'all need to fall in line because I'm a member and you're not. I cannot be a part of a church that turns church membership into power-hungry struggles. That's not what church membership is about. Church membership is not about being closed off to all those who are on the outside, to all those people. It's not us four, no more. There are different ways of saying it. But church membership does not mean now it's us and we close and we better lock those doors because nobody else is allowed in here. Well, if you sign on the bottom line, then you're allowed to be here, but otherwise, get out of here. I refuse to be a part of a church that treats outsiders like that, that treats those who are not a part of this church that way. We are to treat all with love. I've been here for 4 months. Hopefully, I've said that more than a couple times, and that sunk in. We are to treat all with love. I don't care what they believe. I don't care. We are to love. We are to love. Church membership does not allow us to judge and to kick out those who are not like us. It doesn't make us holier than any other church or any other mission out there. It's not about closed-off ministries. It's not about closed-off communion. In fact, myself, my own personal self, is settled into disagreeing with closed communion. I know many churches and many Baptist churches, many non-denominational churches that only allow those who are members of the church to celebrate communion. I get that. I understand there. I've had good disagreements with friends, and we see very differently on that. But I don't believe church membership means we get to take communion, and all you who didn't sign on the line can't. I disagree with that. I understand the arguments for it. I personally disagree. Now we went to the quote that I accidentally put on there a little bit earlier. A way to look at membership, what it is, what it is not. Membership isn't a status. It's an office. It's a position. It's a job. And church members are expected to show up for work. When you consider it like that, that changes the flavor of I get all the power, or I get to judge others, or God looks at me as better than all those other people who aren't members. It has nothing to do with that. I deeply disagree with those views. I deeply disagree. It's not a status. I'm a member of, and so that makes you better than others. It's not what it's about. You're missing the point if you think that's what it's about. It's not a status, it's an office or a job, and you're expected to show up for work. See, it's true that there's no such thing, as I mentioned earlier, as official church membership. There's not a verse you go to regarding joining a church in the New Testament. But there's also ways that we do church today that aren't in the New Testament as well. Have you thought about that? What about our idea of a private Christian? It's just me and Jesus. I don't need anybody else. It's just me and Jesus. Pastor Ben, I appreciate it, but no, we're going to do this thing, me and Jesus. That's all we need. And I understand in one sense that's right. Nobody else is responsible for your spiritual condition. You are. You are to grow and be more like Christ. But you know one of the ways God gave us so that we can grow individually and be more like Christ? Other people. Well, I don't see a verse in the Bible that says church membership. Yeah, but there are many verses that say you have to do this thing with others. There are specific verses that say you are part of the body of Christ. And a body that's missing an arm isn't a healthy body. A body where the stomach doesn't work, the heart isn't healthy, the feet don't walk, the eyes don't see, the ears don't hear, etc., 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 isn't a healthy body. You and I know that. So we don't get to do this thing all on our own and not partner with anybody else. And it's just me and Jesus. I don't care about anybody else. I'm just going to do my own private thing. That's a very Western American thinking, and it's crept into, unfortunately, Christian circles as well. See, there's also in the Bible no such thing as a shopping Christian or a looking around Christian. We do that. We're kind of forced to do that today. When we go to a new area, you're forced to look for a new church, right? And we say church shopping. I've actually never in my adult life since college gotten to or been cursed to have to like go shop for a church, because every church I've joined, it's because I had a position. And so I didn't move to Lewisburg and be like, which church should I join and pastor? Right. I just came here because you all called me here and God said, that's where you're going, Ben. So part of me gets jealous of people who get to shop and like just find the church that they fit, right? But guess where that's not found? In Scripture. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying you're sinning for shopping around. I don't blame you. I would probably need to do the same thing. I'm not blasting that. I'm simply saying it ain't in Scripture. You know what's in Scripture? Whatever city you lived in, that's the church you went to. Yeah, but I don't like their music. Too bad. That's it. That's your choice. Yeah, but the pastor kind of rubs me the wrong way. Sorry, you're either in the church or you're not. There weren't 87,000 different options to choose from. I'm not arguing we all get rid of all the churches and just have one. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying there are things in the Bible or things that are not in the Bible that we assume. And one of them is that, don't have to, who cares about church membership? I don't see the verse. Well, we also live differently. There's no such thing as an inactive member. Maybe this is a little awkward to mention, but most churches have like membership and then they have like inactive members. And that just means like the ones who haven't been around, the ones who aren't serving, maybe the ones who have stopped coming for a million reasons. I don't see that in Scripture. I see you're either in, you're a follower of Jesus, so therefore you are part of the church, or you're not. That's what I see in Scripture. If you feel like I'm wrong, again, I'm not yelling at you. If you feel like I'm wrong, go study it for myself. Please march into my office and say, boom, gotcha, Pastor Ben, right here. Inactive member. Shop around. It's just not there. It's just not there. Again, you can either take what I'm saying and trust me, or don't trust me and study for yourself. I encourage that, but it's not there. So let's be careful when we say, well, I don't see it in Scripture, so therefore, because we have a lot of habits and practices. Again, to be silly, sitting in a pew and having AC and electric in a church isn't in Scripture either. To be silly, using a microphone and standing in front of you all on a stage and having a choir sing isn't really in the Scripture. There's no verses for that. But we do it and we expect it. There's nothing wrong with it at all. So let's just be careful when we want to say, well, I don't see a verse for it. There's not a verse for you guys driving a car to church. Are you all sinners because you drove a car here to church? No. So let's just be careful when we say, I don't see a verse, so therefore it's ridiculous. Let's just be careful with that. That's all I'm saying. Today I'm actually going to read a couple paragraphs from books. Guys, I don't do this normally. I hope you know that right now. This is not normal series. But I want to use books who say it better than I could to help point different things and remind us about what church is and what church is not. So this book, Rediscover Church, it's by Colin Hanson and Jonathan Lehman. Again, this is my disclaimer. These are my footnotes. This is not my own thinking. I'm reading this from a book. But they say regarding church membership, The big takeaway for you right now is that church membership is not a passive thing. It's not just a status. It's not like, and I already said this, membership in a country club, a shopper's club, a gas station rewards program. It's a job where you go to work. You need to get job training. You need to engage it with your mind and heart. You need to think about making an impact. What are you going to produce this week? Are you benefiting the whole team and carrying your weight? Or are you slacking off? And if you're like, man, that sounds a lot like a job. Like, yeah, yeah, good job. Yes, it does. And it goes on to explain the importance of church membership. But again, so far we've just covered what membership is not, at least from Pastor Ben's perspective. I've given you what's not. Who cares about that? Let's go ahead and dive into what membership is. Here's what church membership is, and I'm going to break it down into two different parts: spiritual benefits and practical benefits, because there are both. Before I share again my own thoughts, going to a different book, Church Membership, verses page 64 and 65, say this. Again, not my own thoughts. I'm reading a book, okay? To offer another definition, we can say that church membership is a formal relationship between a church and a Christian, characterized by the church's affirmation and oversight of a Christian's discipleship and the Christian's submission to living out his or her discipleship in the care of the church. Did you catch that? It's a two-way street. I want to make that clear. Here's what church membership is. Hi, I'd like to join this church. Great. Where are you going to serve? Good to have you. Let's gather, grow, and then go. Okay, well then I'm committing to doing something with that. Hi, we're the church. Welcome. Now we have the responsibility to love you, to disciple you, to one another you, and to give you ways to where you can use your God-given talents and gifts to serve us. Notice what I didn't say. Hi, I'm the member. Go make me happy. I also didn't say, hey, we're the church. Go do stuff. Let's go. Crack the whip. Let's go. Get involved in everything. It's neither. It's a mutual commitment. If you're taking notes, go ahead and write those two words down. It's a mutual commitment. Mutual, both church family and individual, or individual family, or husband and wife. They're committing to each other. The church is committing to do their best to disciple and to raise and to serve together. The individual is committing to do their best, his or her best, to serve alongside the church. It's not a, I demand my rights because I'm a member, and it's not a, we're the church, so now that you joined, you better get going. Let's go. Come on, slackers. It's neither. It's mutual commitment. It's mutual submission. It's also mutual accountability. Uh-oh, here's the awkward one. That's one of the pushbacks about joining a church. If I join a church, I have to be accountable, and they're going to tell me, and they're going to vote me off, and if you can vote me in, you can vote me out, and if you're going to vote on whether you accept me or not, well, then that I don't see that in Scripture. Again, all understood, but it's mutual. When you come forward to join this church, yes, you are committing to be accountable to the church, but the church is also agreeing to be accountable to you. It's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. I think that's the most helpful illustration or metaphor. It goes both ways. Mutually committing, mutually submitting, mutually being accountable to each other. It's also one anothering. At some point, we'll do a study on this, or I'll do a sermon on what one anothering means. But there's about 70 different places in the New Testament where Paul or Peter or one of the other authors of Scripture talk about how the church is to one another. So I turn that into a verb and say, you know what one thing that the church is supposed to do? One another each other. What's one another? We have to be with each other to one another, but it's love one another, commit to one another, serve one another, pray with one another, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Church membership allows you to one another with another body of Christ. An imperfect body of Christ. You know why? Because you're imperfect too. None of us are perfect. None of us have it all together. Yeah, but if I join a church and I'm expected to go ahead and sit under the Supreme Court of the church and they decide whether I'm living right and living wrong, again, we're missing the point. You choose to commit to this church, and the church chooses to commit to you and to serve you. It's a two-way street. Other spiritual benefits, and here's the big one, you get your own family. It's your own, very own family. It's a family. Oh, but family with a bunch of liars. Yeah, just like our real life families. Don't point, no elbows. No. Yeah, family with a bunch of hypocrites, just like your real life family. Oh, how dare you say that? We're all hypocrites. Every stinking one of us is a hypocrite. Your pastor sometimes is a hypocrite. Yeah, because that's being a human. We all pretend we are what we're not. I can't join that church. It's a bunch of hypocrites. Ding, ding, ding. So you'd be welcome because you'd fit right in. I don't tell people that, like, seriously. But it's kind of true. Come on, admit it. It's true. It's true. But we're an imperfect, sometimes fighting, sometimes disagreeing, but still loving and committing to each other family. Now, the family that you were born into, do you get to take a time out for a while and not be part of the family? You may want to. I've wanted to before. Too bad. Too bad. Whether I want to or not, I'm part of the family. And it's for a very good reason that Paul calls the church a family. That's what you gain in church membership. You gain a new family. My wife would say this if she was here right now. Actually, you know she wouldn't. She'd blush and say, "Don't you dare call me out on this." I would say it for her. Every place we've lived in our adult life, we've been away from our birth families. Grew up in Michigan, both of us. We were apart from each other. Every church I've served in as any sort of youth pastor volunteer, all the way up to full-time, including this church currently where God has called me, our families are hours away. No free babysitting. No, can you watch the cat for me? As many of you get to, just depend on your family to do. You know who's been our family from since we were 22 and 23 years old, just newly married, moving away from our family down to Tennessee for the first time. You know who our real family was? Our church. Our church. I'm passionate about the fact that your church should be your family. Bunch of lying hypocrites? Yeah, that's why we all fit in. But they're your family. They're your family, which should stick with you through the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because there will be all of those. There will be. But you get a family. That's some of the spiritual benefits. I need to move on. What about the practical benefits, though? Oh, well, that's why I'm here. Give me the practical benefits. Again, if that's your motive, I think you're misunderstanding what church membership is. Nevertheless, there are. Specifically for this church, practical benefits would be you have voting privileges in business meetings. In other words, you get to like participate in church decision making. You know how many votes I as the pastor get? How many votes do I get? Who said two? One. I get one vote. You know how many votes every single individual member, whether this is your very first church business meeting or whether you've been here for 60 years, gets? One. We're on the same level. And we all get to have as equal as impact in church decision making. You're able to serve in some vital ministry positions that otherwise you couldn't be. So back to that first like pushback, like I don't have to join a church. I can serve. Yes, but not all the way. Yes and no. Because there are some important ministries and committees to serve on that only church members should be involved in. So church membership allows you to serve in a greater way. Can you serve and not be a membership? Yes, and we welcome you. If I have to say that three or four times, I will. Yes, and we welcome you to serve. But there are some very important ministries and committees to be involved in that need your service that you can only do as you commit to membership. One other practical benefit would be greater trust with access to the facilities. Why? Because we feel like members care about this building and this church, and they care about the people. Remember, the church is the people, not the building, but we do meet in a building, and so the building is important as well. And church membership allows you greater access and greater trust with those because you're committed to this church. That's the expectation. Guys, is this lived out perfectly? Is there ever no problems with members? Of course not. That's silly. That's ridiculous. You know why? Because we're all a bunch of humans. So no, this doesn't look perfect. So if you feel like I'm painting a perfect picture of what membership is and everything will be perfect once you join the church, I'm telling you right now, that's not the case. But there are both spiritual and practical benefits to what membership is. I hope I've shared some thoughts about what it's not and also some thoughts about what it is. Now, here's really the most important point. Again, for those who say, there's nothing in the Bible about church membership, maybe. So here we go. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? And I think I have 4 different passages. There could be many more. For sake of time, we'll stick with 4. Acts 20:28. If you're taking notes, you can just write down the reference. The verse is on the screen. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you, so obviously the context here is he's speaking to leaders of churches, made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Did he say, pastors, you're now responsible for every Christian in the entire world, so get to it. It's not what he's saying. He's saying, you take care of your flock, which the Holy Spirit gave you. Guess who the flock is that God gave Ben Moses? Who is that flock? Y'all right here. That's my responsibility. Not the people in past churches that I've been a part of, not the people in the church down the street. God bless the people in the church down the street and in the past churches that I've been a part of and in every other church in the entire world. But you know who my specific responsibility is? This flock. But it doesn't say join membership, I know. But the argument is this body, this church, this flock. Hebrews 13:17. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders. Oh, we don't like this one. Submit. Oh, we definitely don't like that word. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch, or they should be. If they're not, get them out of here. They are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Not only are you my flock, I have to answer to God for how I have served and treated you guys. You guys realize that? That's not cool. That's not easy. I'll give an account someday for how I served and didn't serve First Baptist Church fairly. That's not fun, but I'm responsible. It says, let them do this with joy and not with groaning. That would be of no advantage to you. That sounds like a local church to me. That sounds like a church that people are expected to be members of to me because it says you obey, you submit. It's a mutual back and forth, mutual submission, mutual commitment, mutual accountability. I'm accountable to you just as you are to me. I don't buy the whole, I'm the pastor, so you'll do what I say. I don't. We are mutually submissive and accountable to each other. But that seems like he's talking about a local church that we should be a part of. 1 John 2:19. This is in reference to those who were originally part of the church. And John says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. They weren't actually us. For if they had been of us, they would have stayed. They would have continued. But they went out so that it might become clear, plain, obvious that they all are not of us. Well, who's the they and who's the us? In the context, he's talking about the local church. And he's like, some people have left. They're not part of us. Maybe they've gone elsewhere. I hope, I pray. But they're not us. They're not us. And the argument is, if you're here, you're here. And we continue. Last but not least, 1 Corinthians 12:24-26. I chopped off parts of these verses just to fit it on one line here. But this is the idea of the body, the family, right? We're a family and we are the body of Christ. Look at what Paul says here. And if this is too small, I apologize. I'll read it to you. But God has so composed or created or put together the body, church body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body. Is he talking about the capital C church in the whole world? No. He's talking about a local church, a local body of believers. That there may be no division in the body, but so that the members... Wait. Members. So that the members may have the same care for one another. There's that one another. Care for one another. If one member... Oh, it says member again. Oh, man. I'm just giving you God's word. If one member suffers, all should suffer together. If one member is honored, all should rejoice together. Man, that sounds like a family. It sounds like a body of Christ working together. It sounds like members caring for each other. And when one cries, we cry along with them. And when one rejoices and gets the promotion or has victory over that disease or sickness, we rejoice together. Man, that sounds an awful lot like a family. Yeah. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. These are a very few small percentage portion of verses that tell us about what I would argue is looking at the church as expecting membership. You know why I don't believe that Paul had to say, when you come to church, when you become a follower of Christ, make sure to join that church. You know why I don't think he had to say it? Because it was so obvious he didn't need to say it. It was expected. You were leaving your old life of worshiping whatever other lowercase gods, lowercase g gods, and you were saying, now we're following Jesus. You're following Jesus together? Let's do this thing. Let's meet together. I'm in. Or I'm not, as 1 John said. This ain't for me anymore. I'm out of here. Well, they were out. They went out because they weren't part of us. Find a place that you can be a part of, that you can have family with. I believe the Bible is clear on that. So let's respond. Let's end with the response. I gave you four challenges that are the most common that I hear that some of you have told me verbally, like to my face, like here's what I have a problem with. And I've appreciated that. That's actually helped me in putting together this study and moving forward. And it's a great, some of those are great arguments. But here are my response to those four pushbacks. Number one, we say, well, it's not in the Bible. Hopefully I've been able to share a little bit of my pushback to that already. Hopefully sharing from you four options that I believe does insist, expect that membership is in the Bible. The Trinity is not in the Bible. There is no reference that says, here's the Trinity, go worship the Trinity. It's not. The word is not even in the Bible, Trinity. But I hope we understand and believe and trust and worship and honor the Trinity. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you'll have to go back to about January or February when I talked about the whole God thing. Let's not get back into that. Trinity isn't in the Bible, yet it's being seen as obvious as you study God's word. And I believe membership is the same. That 1 Corinthians 12 passage that I shared, it comes about as close as you possibly can without commanding us, but I believe it expects membership. If one member suffers, everyone should suffer together. If one membership grieves and is having a hard day, you go around that person, you care for them. If one membership is rejoicing and has a great, awesome life, you don't get jealous of them. You go around and you celebrate the fact that they are doing great. And we worship together and we rejoice together and we grieve together. It comes so close to saying, so y'all need to be members. That's Ben's translation. Don't like the whole voting thing, right? Vote me out? Are you kidding me? Judge me because I don't live like somebody else? Well, pastor, nobody can live, right? I completely understand. I'm not mocking that perspective. I think it's a fair perspective to bring up. But my response would be, no one should be judging. Maybe you feel judgment because I feel judgment when things are not right with me. I feel like my wife is judging me when I've been a jerk to my wife. I feel like everyone's judging me when I'm not right with others. I feel like my family isn't good around me when I've been bad to my family. So sometimes the judging we feel is simply the fact that, well, we haven't lived as members should be. I didn't say all the time. This may not apply to you. I just said sometimes. No one is allowed to judge, though. We should be biblical in holding each other accountable to truth in love. Being held accountable usually is only hated by those who have something to fear. For a CEO who says, no board is going to hold me accountable, I'm going to do my own thing, most people who are smart run from that company. Because you know what's going on in the background? A lot of fishy stuff. And we see it all the time on the news. Someone who says, don't keep me accountable, I'm messing with the money, no, you don't have to check my work. We know that there's usually something fishy going on financially. A teacher says, don't hold me accountable, I'm going to teach my class whatever I want. You just get on back to your office there, principal. I'm going to do my thing. You should rightly be concerned about the teacher and what those kids are learning in that class or being exposed to in that class. Generally, those who push back against accountability have something to fear. I'm not saying that's you. I'm simply saying in general. And for those who say, I refuse to be accountable to anybody else, I'm going to live my own life, again, it's just simply not in the scripture. Some of you have been abused by churches. I know. I've heard some of your stories. Guess what? Me too. Seriously. Now is not the time, but I have no problem being able to share privately away from the public mic some of the things that I've been taken advantage of and used and abused in church, in churches that should know better. But I pray that you don't use that as an excuse to stay away from committing to a church that loves you imperfectly, but that loves you. It's a family. What about number three? I don't want permanent commitment. There's no way, right? I sign on the dotted line. That means they expect me to be here and to serve, and like I have to get involved with a ministry. Probably have to financially give as I'm able to be able to like support the work of this ministry. Like the pastor's going to expect me to gather. He's going to expect me to grow. He's going to expect me to like go serve. Oh. And my answer to that would be, yep. And so for those who are not willing to commit to a church, we're just going to have to agree to disagree. I feel like you're called to. I feel like as a Christian, there's not another option. We are to mutually commit to each other. I'm sorry, guys. It's okay to disagree with me. It really is. I'd love to like carry the conversation on more individually with people who are, right now, you're like, you got all these responses to me. You're like, oh, Pastor, man, I could destroy you in a debate. Good, let's debate. But for sake of time, I simply say yes. Yeah, like permanency, like commitment. Yeah, I actually see that in God's word. I see that. I see you being so committed that you care about others, even people who you would never have anything else with, but when they're sad, you're sad, and when they're happy, you're happy. And when you're sad, they're sad with you. And when you struggle financially, they step in to help. And when they struggle financially, here's the other part we don't like. We step in to help. You know why? Because we're a family, an imperfect family, but a family. Commitment? Yes. Yes, that's my response. I understand. It's not the American way. I'm independent. I do my own thing. I'm going to be my own church. I'm sorry. That's not in God's word. Last one. Don't need it to serve in church. Don't need to join church. I can serve. I can serve in the nursery. I can help with Vacation Bible School. And I hope you do. I can help pass out bulletins to people who come in on Sunday morning. I hope you do. Thank you. Thank you. Seriously. I'm not being sarcastic. Thank you. Keep serving. But I would also push back and say, well, that's true, but not exactly. You're not able to have as much of an impact as a member is able to have. Not as much. I know. You could argue, I'm not going to be a member, but I'm going to serve. Awesome. Thank you. Please keep serving. But you may be surprised at how God is able to use you to further serve others. And I would encourage you to pray about that. I would encourage you to pray about that. So again, if you disagree, we'll just have to agree to disagree. I've done my best to share four major pushbacks and my four hopefully helpful responses to that. I understand some of you maybe even sitting there stewing. I pray deeply over this week specifically because I know this is probably the week I'm mostly going to step on people's toes and maybe tick some people off. I know that. Please accept this with a caring heart. My intention is not to offend. My intention is not to judge. My intention is certainly not to be rude or unkind. It really is not. I hope you see my heart. But it's okay to fight and to argue and to claim what you believe is right. I care about this church. I'm responsible for this church. You're responsible for this church. And listen to me clearly. If this is not the church you feel like you can commit to and serve with, please go find a church that you can. It is right and healthy. This is not the perfect church. This is not going to be the perfect church for anybody. It can't be. You're expecting something that is impossible. But go find a church that fits you, that you can serve in and jump in. Both feet, head first, and go serve and commit yourself to that church, whether they expect membership or not. Go serve them. If this is not the church for you, go find a place where you can commit, where you can mutually serve each other, where you can keep each other mutually accountable. and go love that church and serve that church. I simply offer up my church, our church, is hopefully a good option for you to pray about, to consider. Being a church member is a God-blessed commitment, privilege, and responsibility.